These last few days, wow, the pictures coming out of LA are unreal.
Yeah.
It's like a movie with the
Right.
sky and the cars and that orange just everywhere. I have a few friends who had to evacuate.
Oh, wow.
And it's really scary not knowing what they'll find when they're able to go back.
Yeah.
And, it really hits home how all these disasters that we see on the news, it could happen to any of us. And
Absolutely.
it's like suddenly it's not just headlines.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
people's lives being turned upside down.
You're right. And it's easy to kind of become desensitized
Right.
to the news reports. But this situation in LA is particularly alarming. Not only are the fires themselves devastating, but there's this added layer of difficulty with all the misinformation circulating online. And, in a crisis like this, when people need accurate information to make life or death decisions, that's when it becomes really dangerous.
It's like trying to escape a burning building while everyone's arguing about which way is out.
Exactly.
We've got these multiple fires burning.
Yeah.
The Palisades, Eaton, Hearst, and Kenneth fires,
Right.
they're ripping through thousands of homes.
Wow.
Over 130,000 people have been evacuated,
Yeah.
and at least five people have been confirmed dead.
Gosh, that's terrible.
And the Santa Ana winds are like a bellows, just fanning these flames at nearly 100 miles an hour.
It's just relentless.
It's
And the
relentless.
thing is, this isn't just a bad fire season. This is climate change showing its teeth. California's been whipsawed between extreme drought and then these heavy rains, which created a ton of fuel for these fires. So it's not just nature taking its course, it's nature amplified by human actions, and the results are terrifying.
Okay, so we've got the real physical danger of these fires, but then we have this whole other battlefield online. Where does all this misinformation come from, and what kinds of things are people saying?
One recurring theme is this blame game, trying to pin responsibility on specific individuals or policies. For example, there's this claim going around that Governor Newsom refused to sign a declaration to send water south to help fight the fires.
I saw something about that.
Yeah, the story is he's protecting this tiny fish called the Delta smelt.
Hold on, the Delta smelt.
Yeah.
What is that exactly?
It's a small endangered fish that lives in the San Francisco Bay Delta. And honestly, it's become a bit of a political football in California's water wars. It often gets used as a scapegoat when people want to simplify complex water policy issues.
This is like a symbol,
Yeah,
right? So people latch onto it, and it simplifies a more complicated story
Right.
about how water is managed in California.
Exactly. And the claim about Newsom refusing to sign this declaration is simply not true.
Oh, really?
California's water system is incredibly complex with a web of reservoirs, pumps, and canals. There's no single document that could magically send water south. And experts have debunked this whole idea. It's a way to twist the narrative and score political points while people are literally fleeing for their lives.
That's just messed up.
Yeah.
So the truth is, California's water system is this complex beast.
It is.
And this claim about the Delta smelt
Yeah.
is just a way to oversimplify and mislead people.
Precisely. And it's crucial to understand these tactics because they're often used to distract from real solutions and create unnecessary division.
Okay, so that's one example. What other kinds of misinformation are you seeing out there?
Another disturbing trend is the scapegoating of the LAFD,
Really?
particularly their DEI initiatives. Some folks are blaming the fires on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within the fire department, even making hateful remarks about the fire chief, Kristen Crowley, for being a lesbian. They claim these initiatives have somehow weakened the LAFD's ability to fight fires.
That's just awful.
It is.
It's like people are using this tragedy to
Yeah.
push their own prejudices.
Right.
Are there any facts to back up these claims?
Absolutely not. The LAFD budget actually increased this year, and there's no evidence whatsoever that DEI initiatives have hindered their response efforts. It's pure speculation and fear-mongering. And frankly, it's a disgusting tactic to use when people are suffering.
So to be clear, the accusations about DEI programs weakening the LAFD are completely baseless.
Yes.
These accusations are nothing more than hateful attempts to exploit a tragedy.
Right. It's vital to push back against this type of rhetoric and stick to the facts.
Yeah.
Especially when emotions are running high.
You know, it feels like every time there's a disaster,
yeah,
these rumors of looting just pop up.
Yeah.
Almost like clockwork. I've seen posts claiming there's widespread looting in the evacuated areas.
Uh-huh.
Is there any truth to that?
You're right. It's a sadly predictable pattern.
Yeah.
Fear and uncertainty create fertile ground for these kinds of rumors.
Right.
And they often get amplified online,
mm-hmm,
especially when there's a racial element involved.
Right.
But the reality in LA is very different.
So what is the reality?
Yeah.
Are people actually taking advantage of the situation?
The LA Sheriff's Department has only reported a handful of looting arrests.
Okay.
Definitely not widespread, considering how many homes are empty right now.
Wow.
In fact, it's surprisingly low, given the circumstances.
So basically, the rumors are way overblown.
Yes.
It's more about fear-mongering than actual facts on the ground.
Exactly. And it's worth noting that spreading these kinds of rumors can be really damaging.
Oh, yeah. How so?
They can escalate anxiety.
Okay.
Create distrust among neighbors.
Blah.
And even lead to vigilantism.
Yeah.
Which is the last thing anyone needs in a crisis like this.
Okay, so let's be clear. While there have been a few isolated incidents,
right,
there's no evidence to support claims of widespread looting in LA.
Uh-huh.
Spreading these rumors just adds fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
It makes it harder for everyone to cope and recover.
Well put, it's crucial to stay grounded in facts.
Right.
And be mindful of the impact our words can have,
mm-hmm,
especially in these tense situations.
Okay, so we've talked about blaming politicians,
right,
attacking the LAFD,
mm-hmm,
and fear-mongering about looting.
Yes.
Are there any other flavors of misinformation swirling around out there?
Oh, there are plenty, unfortunately.
Like what?
We've got everything from Alex Jones claiming these fires are part of some globalist plot.
Oh, gosh.
To more localized theories targeting celebrities like Diddy.
Really?
You know, the ones about secret tunnels and evidence being destroyed?
It's almost comical how these conspiracy theories can weave in totally random people or events.
Right.
Like Diddy's somehow involved in starting wildfires.
Oh.
But it's not funny when you think about how it distracts from the real issues.
Exactly.
It makes it harder to have a serious conversation about solutions.
You're right. These claims prey on people's fears and anxieties, offering these simplistic explanations for complex events.
Right.
But by doing that, they prevent us from addressing the root causes.
Right.
And having meaningful conversations about how to prevent these disasters from happening again.
It's like they're creating this alternate reality where logic and evidence don't matter.
Yeah.
And anyone who tries to be reasonable is labeled as part of the conspiracy.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to be able to recognize and debunk these claims.
Really?
Not just for ourselves, but to help others who might be falling down those rabbit holes.
Speaking of rabbit holes,
yeah.
I saw this weird one about the LAFD sending supplies to Ukraine.
Okay.
Which supposedly left them short on resources to fight these fires.
Uh-huh.
What's the story there?
That's a classic example of how a tiny grain of truth can get twisted into something totally misleading. It's true that the LAFD sent some surplus equipment to Ukraine a few years ago.
Okay.
As part of a national aid program.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a few pallets worth of stuff.
Right.
A drop in the bucket compared to their overall resources.
So it's like saying, because I gave away a few old shirts,
right,
I don't have clothes to wear anymore.
Exactly.
Completely out of proportion.
Right. And this donation happened years before these fires even started.
Wow.
It's just another way to manipulate information and sow distrust in the LAFD,
right,
which is doing everything they can to protect people right now.
Okay. So to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Yes. The LAFD sent some surplus equipment to Ukraine years ago,
mm-hmm,
but it was a minor donation,
yeah,
and had absolutely no impact on their ability to fight these current fires.
Exactly. It's important to be able to see through these kinds of distortions,
right,
and get to the heart of the matter.
You know, we can't talk about misinformation without mentioning Elon Musk.
Yeah.
He's been pretty vocal about these fires, hasn't he?
Unfortunately, yes. He's used his platform to amplify some of these harmful narratives we've been talking about,
right,
especially the ones targeting DEI initiatives.
Okay.
He's even gone so far as to say DEI means people die.
Wow.
Which is a shockingly callous and irresponsible oversimplification,
yeah,
of a complex issue.
It's disturbing that someone with his reach would choose to spread that kind of divisive rhetoric,
mm-hmm,
especially in the midst of a crisis like this.
It is.
It feels like he's more interested in pushing his own agenda than promoting accurate information.
His comments about DEI programs hurting the LAFD are baseless.
Yeah.
We've already talked about how the LAFD's budget has actually increased.
Right.
It's clear he's using this situation to promote his own political views.
Right.
Which is incredibly damaging.
You know, in all this talk about misinformation and conspiracy theories, it's easy to lose sight of the human toll of these fires.
You're absolutely right. It's crucial to remember that behind every headline and social media post, there are people grappling with loss, fear, and uncertainty. We've heard stories of families losing their homes, pets being separated from their owners and communities, rallying to support each other.
Like that story about the mail carrier who kept delivering mail, even with ash falling all around them, joking that it was like snow.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that even amidst chaos and tragedy, human resilience, kindness, and a sense of community can shine through.
It's those stories that give me hope, the ones that remind us that even when things feel bleak, there's still good in the world.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the anger and frustration of the misinformation, but those acts of human connection are what truly matter.
I agree. And those stories often happen offline in neighborhoods, community centers, and shelters. While the misinformation might dominate the online world, it's the real life acts of kindness and support that are truly making a difference.
So with all this misinformation swirling around, how do we as individuals navigate this landscape and make sure we're getting accurate information?
Yeah. It
feels overwhelming sometimes.
It definitely can be, but I think it starts with cultivating a healthy skepticism.
Okay.
A willingness to question what we see and hear, especially online. We can't just blindly accept everything that pops up in our feeds.
So it's about being more discerning,
yeah,
more critical of the information we're consuming.
Right.
But what about when we actually encounter misinformation? Should we ignore it, or is there a more proactive approach?
Ignoring it might be tempting, but I think it's important to speak up to challenge those false narratives and promote accurate information. That doesn't mean getting into heated arguments online.
Right.
But it does mean sharing credible sources, fact-checking claims, and engaging in respectful dialogue with people who might be spreading misinformation.
So it's about being informed, being discerning, and being willing to speak up for what's right.
Exactly. And it's important to recognize that the fight against misinformation is an ongoing process. It's not something we win overnight,
right?
But it's something we need to be constantly vigilant about.
Okay, I'm ready to put on my critical thinking cap and get to work. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you think is important for people to understand about this whole situation with the LA fires and the misinformation surrounding them?
I think the key takeaway here is that misinformation thrives in moments of crisis.
Okay.
When people are scared, confused, and desperate for answers, they're more likely to fall prey to those easy, simplistic explanations, even if they're not true. It's crucial to be aware of this, especially during times of uncertainty, and be extra careful about the information we consume and share.
So it's not just about being informed, it's also about being aware of our own vulnerabilities and recognizing that any of us can fall for misinformation if we're not careful.
Exactly. And the thing is, misinformation isn't just some harmless annoyance. It can have real-world consequences, impacting people's safety, their livelihoods, and their trust in institutions. It can literally make a bad situation worse.
And what about the long-term effects? What happens when these false narratives become ingrained in our society, when people start accepting them as truth?
That's where things get really concerning, when misinformation takes root. It can erode trust, make it harder to address complex problems, and leave us less prepared to face future challenges. It breeds fear, division, and cynicism, making it difficult to find common ground and work together towards solutions.
So it's not just about this immediate crisis. It's about the long-term health of our democracy and our ability to function as a society.
You hit the nail on the head. Misinformation is a threat we need to take seriously, not just for our individual well-being, but for the sake of our collective future.
It's a sobering thought, but it's also a call to action. We can't afford to be passive in the face of this threat. We all have a role to play in promoting truth and combating misinformation.
Absolutely. And it starts with recognizing our own agency. We have the power to choose what information we consume, how we engage with it, and what we share with others. We can choose to be critical thinkers, to seek out reliable sources, to engage in respectful dialogue, and to amplify voices of truth and reason.
You know, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information out there, especially when so much of it is designed to mislead or manipulate us. It can feel like an uphill battle.
It definitely can. But remember, you're not alone in this. There are countless individuals, organizations, and even platforms working to combat misinformation and promote media literacy.
That's reassuring to hear. So where can people go to find reliable information about these fires and to learn more about how to identify and counter misinformation?
Well, for starters, stick to reputable news organizations with a track record of accuracy and accountability. Look for outlets that follow journalistic standards, cite their sources, and are transparent about their methods. Avoid sources that rely on sensationalism, emotional appeals, or unfounded claims.
So checking the source is always a good first step. What else can people do?
Don't just rely on a single source. Seek out multiple perspectives, compare different accounts, and look for corroborating evidence. Pay attention to the language, use the tone of the reporting, and whether the information is presented in a balanced and objective way.
It's almost like being a detective, piecing together the truth from different fragments of information.
That's a great way to put it. And remember, it's okay to be skeptical, to question what you see and hear, and to demand evidence. Don't be afraid to dig deeper, verify claims, and hold sources accountable.
This has been incredibly eye-opening and honestly a little bit scary, but it's also empowering to realize that we do have the tools to navigate this complex information landscape and make informed decisions.
I'm glad you feel that way. Knowledge is power. And the more we understand about how misinformation works, the better equipped we are to defend ourselves against it.
So as we wrap up this conversation about the LA fires and the misinformation swirling around them, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this?
I want them to remember that truth matters. It matters for our individual well-being, for the health of our communities, and for the future of our democracy. We can't afford to let misinformation take root and poison our public discourse. We need to be vigilant, we need to be engaged, and we need to stand up for what's right.
Well said. And on that note, I want to thank you for joining us for this incredibly informative and important discussion. It's given me a lot to think about.
It was my pleasure. And to our listeners, please stay safe, stay informed, and stay engaged. We're all in this together.